Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and my podcast with the Cardinals' Matt Carpenter. This is presented by Ryan Kelly. Visit him at thehomeloanexpert.com and also by the good folks at Schnucks. Think local, think Schnucks. A former 13th round pick from TCU, the Cardinals' Matt Carpenter has turned into one of the premier hitters in the game today.
Proofs it down the left field line. That's going to fall in. The kid's first big league hit. He's going to try for two. The throw, he is saved. And his first big league hit is a two-out double, and that gives the Guards a chance as Craig comes in.
That was in 2011, and the hits and doubles would just keep on coming. To the point the Cardinals locked up Carpenter with a six-year contract extension in 2014. I was there that day in Jupiter, Florida.
The Cardinals just moments ago announced within the past hour a contract extension for third baseman Matt Carpenter. The deal is a six-year extension with an option for a seventh year. Cardinals chairman Bill DeWitt made the official announcement.
I'd just like to say we're thrilled to have Matt long-term and thank him for all he's done and look forward to having him with us. So, Matt, turn it over to you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's an amazing story for Matt Carpenter, who was drafted in 2009 in the 13th round out of TCU. This contract is believed to be for $52 million. I spoke to him moments ago.
Man, it's surreal. I don't think it's really sunk in yet. It's hard. I had a hard time fighting through some emotions up there. I mean, it's a special day, and it's... when you really think about it and where I've come from, there was a point a few short years ago where I didn't know if I'd play again and didn't know if an opportunity would come after my last year of college and here we are today. So it's been an amazing journey and I'm extremely humbled and just honored to have this investment that the Cardinals have made and just looking forward to the next 6 years.
Pretty amazing. You signed for $1,000. Today it's millions of dollars. Has something like that settled in for you at all?
I don't know if it ever will. It's hard to fathom. It's hard to wrap my mind around it. But I'm just so honored and humbled by it. And it's just hard. I'm at a loss for words of the whole thing. But my wife and I are extremely grateful.
When you first got the word that the extension was done, you hear from your agent, you hear from Mo, it's behind the scenes, people don't know about it yet, but you did obviously, and your family and your wife, Mackenzie. What was that moment like?
I mean, that's a tough secret to keep in, for sure. We didn't share it. Mackenzie and I kept it to ourselves, so my parents weren't, involved, and they didn't know yet, so we had, this is a hard secret to keep, but, it was a very exciting time, and, I don't know if it's, I know it hadn't sunk in for us, I don't know if it ever will, but we're just so happy.
What did it mean to have the players, the guys that you're so tight with, that you're now a leader, part of that core group, to see them here and to be part of this?
It's awesome. Those guys are special people and so much fun to work with, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be a part of it for these years going forward. It's going to be fun.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Carpenter's extension arrives a year before arbitration. This six-year deal would cover Carpenter's three arbitration seasons and two potential free agency years. He'll be 33 at the end of the contract. Cards GM John Mozeliak.
Not only versatility, but just how hard he works. He's so dedicated to this job and what is expected of him. When you think about these types of investments, you know he's not going to disappoint you in not putting out the effort. So just really felt like not only his position flexibility, but just the fact that I think it's also where you could stick him in the batting order gives you that flexibility. And so his profile of just being a successful major leaguer looked pretty good over the next 6 or 7 years.
What does this mean for Cardinals owner Bill DeWitt?
It's really exciting. If Matt represents everything we're looking to do here, and that is draft, sign, develop, and bring to the major leagues first-class players and first-class people. And he's a great leader, role model, and a terrific player. So it's exciting to think that he'll be with us for a long time and hopefully, throughout his career.
One of the things that you've been able to do is not only lock up great players, but you mentioned it, good people, and he certainly falls in that category.
He really does. And, the other players who have signed long-term who came to this in the back of the room are all of the same ilk. They're, we're very fortunate to have a group of players like Matt and the other ones who are here to be the core players on our team.
Carpenter, as the years have gone by, is a smarter and even better hitter than maybe even the Cardinals envisioned.
And there's a drive. Deep right. How far will this one go? Off the scoreboard and right. 1-0 Cardinals, home run number 21. Hit by Carpenter, and a mammoth blast here at Wrigley.
That's the longest ball I think Matt Carpenter's ever hit. Keep in mind, the wind is blowing out to center field, not right. I don't think I've ever seen Matt hit a ball harder than that.
The 2-2. And Carpenter with another drive. Right center. Goodbye. The man is on fire. His second home run of the day. It hits a fly ball to the corner and right, carries back, and it's gone! It's a home run for Carpenter! Into the basket, and a three-run homer for Carpenter. His third home run of the day to go along with a pair of doubles. It's an amazing performance from the Cardinal first baseman.
He's been an all-star, world champion, postseason hero, a recent National League Player of the Week. Enjoy my conversation with the Cardinals, Matt Carpenter.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Right now, you are the hottest hitter on the planet. How do you explain when something like this goes your way in Little League, college, high school, and now in Major League Baseball?
Oh, man, you know, it's such a great feeling stepping in the box when you feel like this. You really feel like if a pitcher makes a mistake on the plate that you're going to cover it. And I've had stretches in my career where I felt like, you know, I was in the zone like I am now. But right now I've never felt as dangerous as I do at the plate. I really do. Going through a stretch where I feel like if you make a mistake, I'm not going to just get a hit. I feel like I'm going to got a chance to, you know, leave the ballpark. So it's a lot of fun every time you step in there, and you know, there's a peace and just like a real confidence when you're in the box.
How do you turn it around, you know, with the start that you had? But I'm watching you, and correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't see you chasing many pitches early on. I didn't see you change your stance, but all of a sudden it clicked. What happened?
You know, I mean, the biggest thing for me, and I've said it time and time again, was I trusted in the fact that my approach and my mindset was right, my results weren't, you know. And I'm a big believer in the game of baseball. It's a very humbling game. There's a lot of failure in it, and I'm a big believer in it evens out if you stay the course.
Yeah.
If you stay with it and you keep going out there, that it'll turn for you. I would have never guessed, and I'm sure no Cardinal fan out there would have guessed it turned to the extreme that it did. But I was confident in the fact that I knew that if I just kept playing the game, kept getting opportunities, kept doing what I was going to do, that it would turn for me.
When did you think that you could be a power hitter? Because I bring this up, in the minor leagues, you're a great on-base guy, and we knew that when you were coming up. And then when you got to St. Louis, your first hit is a base hit off of Kerry Wood going the other way. And all of a sudden, boom, the power hits. When did you know that maybe power was in your game?
You know, it's funny, because I actually just had this conversation 2 days ago with our new hitting coach, Mark Budaska. He was my guy when I was in AAA, and he told me that he thought that I would be a 20-plus homer guy in the big leagues. At the time, you know, I'd never hit more than 10 in any minor league professional season, so I kind of just looked at him like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Right.
But he was right, you know. And for me, as far as that, how that played out, you know, my first kind of breakout season in 13, I had 55 doubles, and I think I finished the year with like 11 home runs. But I hit a lot of balls off the wall. A lot of those doubles were close to being homers. And, you know, I knew that there was more in there. And then really what happened in 14 and the end of that playoff run, you know, I think I homered six times in that playoff run. We ended up getting beaten in NLCS. That was kind of that aha moment where it was like, okay, this is something that might be something. And then I turned it into the year I had in 2015. And you know, it's kind of just taken off from there.
Is it something where you've gotten stronger or smarter or gotten more launch angle? I mean, we hear that so much. Is it a combination of all those things?
You know, I think it is a combination of all those things. I'm not a big fan of the launch angle, terms. I think that more than anything, I've just learned how my swing works. As I've gotten older, I've understand, what it takes to get a ball in the air. And what I mean by in the air is I'm not trying to hit fly balls. I'm trying to hit the ball not on the ground. You know, that's a line drive, you know, kind of trajectory in the gaps, best chance for a ball that splits the outfielder or goes sure. over an outfielder's head. And so once you learn kind of the league and, like, pitchers, what they're trying to do to you and your own swing, and you combine that all together, it gives you your best chance to go out there and make something happen. And I think it's all just a combination of all those things.
When you were a kid, did you think you'd be a big leaguer?
You know, it's funny. I never really lost sight of that goal. You know, I'd be lying if I thought that, you know, when at the lowest point of my life as a junior in college, an overweight, furthest thing from a prospect, just coming off Tommy John surgery, I'd be lying if I thought that I'd be a big leaguer at that moment.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was just – that was kind of the point in my life where up until that point I really did. You know, I really did go to college. I was a high recruit as a college player, you know, got close to a full ride to go to TCU, turned down some other good schools to go there, was a you know, high school All-American player. I mean, I was a highly touted younger player. And then I get to college, my first 2 years just wasn't very good. A lot of the guys on my teams were better. And then all the players that I had came into class with that I was supposedly supposed to be better than were off and getting drafted and going on to play pro ball. And I'm stuck in college with a bad arm and a bad body. And, you know, that was kind of my aha moment. It was like, man, you know, I don't know if this is going to work out for me unless I make some changes.
Who helped you make those changes? And the aha moment, was it a day or was it kind of a string of events that you said, I'm going to turn this thing around?
Certainly, there was certainly one day. There was one conversation that was one that will stick out forever with me, and it was a conversation with my head coach, Jim Sloshing at TCU. We talked about this many a times, and actually last year in March in spring training, I sent him a letter letting him know that it was 10 years from the date that we had this conversation.
Wow.
And I owed him everything from when I left his office that day. I was a different person, and you know, I just wanted to thank him for it. And basically the gist of what happened was he called me in there. I just had Tommy John surgery. I was going to miss the entire season as a junior, and he sat me down and was very blunt on letting me know that, like, hey, the player that we thought we got when we brought you here, you haven't been that guy. And if you're going to be that guy, you got to make some changes in the way you live, the way you eat, the way you train, the way you focus it. But he said, basically, in a nutshell, he told me that the guy that I am for the 3 hours of practice every day, I need to be that guy 24 hours a day. And it really sunk in with me because, you know, I needed to buy into that, and I did.
What did your dad mean to you in your career and still today?
You know, he's definitely number one, you know, the driving force behind it. You know, I mean – you know, I have so much love and respect for him and who he is that there's no doubt that if he would have been a, you know, I don't even know, like any other profession in the world, I'd probably be seeking that. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm in baseball because he's a baseball coach. You know, if he would have been an insurance salesman, I'd probably be selling insurance right now. You
right.
know, I mean, it's just, you just follow into those footsteps. But he was my high school baseball coach. I grew up around the field. I grew up, you know, watching his games. I can remember as a young kid, that's what I wanted to do, was play for him. That was like my big leagues. Like, I want to go to the high school. I can't wait to get to high school and play high school baseball. It was like a dream for me. I looked at his players like they were special. And, you know, he threw to me every day as a kid. He taught me the game that I love. And without him, there's no doubt I wouldn't be here.
Does he still call you and say, hey, I'm noticing something. You might want to do this, that, and the other with your throws, your fielding, your hitting, whatever.
You know, that's probably the most admirable trait that I think he has is, you know, and he was like this as a coach too. He really knows when to not say anything.
Yeah.
You know, and he is at a point where he recognizes the fact that I've been doing this for so long and I'm just at a different level than he is. And that's no disrespect to his baseball knowledge because he knows a ton. But, you know, he doesn't really step in the way and try to get me to do anything. He just lets me play. I mean, certainly if I asked him for advice, he's right there for it. But he's not the dad that's, like, overbearing, you know, yelling at you, saying, hey, you're pulling your shoulder. And
yeah.
Which I think people can kind of imagine that being the case, and it's certainly not.
So when you got the visit with Coach and you kind of have that aha moment, did you call your dad, too, and say, hey, something just happened today, and I'm changing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's the great thing about that is he was already aware of it. You know, Coach Sloshnagle and my dad had a good relationship.
So they had talked prior to it.
Yeah. You know, they knew that this was something that needed to happen. But and, you know, my coach says this all the time, and I've heard him talk about it to other people. He said, you have these conversations with players all the time as a coach. You know, very rarely do guys walk out that door and make that change immediately. And for me, it was such a dramatic moment that he just it literally was like an overnight transformation.
Without getting too private, what were some of the changes?
You know, just what you can imagine a college kid. Like, I was very, very my diet, there was no, I didn't even understand anything about nutrition at the time. I mean, I my diet consisted of fast food. You know, I was a college kid that, you know,
the occasional beer,
drinking beer, playing beer pong, that whole right. thing. Staying out late, missing class, grades were poor, very unaccountable. I mean, very like, and what he meant by when he said for the 3 hours a day at practice, one thing he could always count on me, and I can always, and I can give credit to my dad on this is, you know, we practiced so hard in high school, we took it very serious. That was the only area of my life at that time that I took serious. When I got to the field for 3 hours or however long, you know, our TCU team was practicing, I gave it my full effort. But I didn't give my full effort in any other area, whether it was in the classroom, whether it was in the weight room. I was, you know, I didn't really – we worked out as a team, but I wasn't giving it 100% in that. I mean, you could tell by the way my body was. And those were the changes I had to make.
Yeah. You have now two children, correct?
I do.
Okay. Girl?
I have a girl, two-year-old, Kinley, and a eight-month-old son, Cannon.
Would you want Cannon to play Major League Baseball?
Oh, man.
With the pressure that goes into this for the amount – I mean, think about your life.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fans, you know, they just look at the money and the adulation. I'm around it, so I see it. You guys are stress balls.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard on your personal life. It's hard on everything. Would you want your son to do it?
Yeah. You know what? That's a tough question. You know, if that – I'd have to – it's really going to depend on what kind of kid he is. Like, you know, do I think mentally he'll be able to handle it? Because you're exactly right. I mean, this game can chew you up and spit you out. You know, some of the off-the-field things that go on.
Yes.
I mean, divorce rate and drug and alcohol abuse. I mean, it's just it's a tough lifestyle. But at the same time, there's a lot of rewarding sides of it. If I think he could handle it, which I'm hopeful he would if he was good enough and you know, I'm going to be there to guide him and hopefully give him advice. But if it's something he wants to do, obviously I would support that.
Best part of your life, those kids?
Oh, without any question in the world.
So when you were struggling, you go home, daddy, see the little baby. It's pretty cool.
I mean, nothing gets you through a hard time than going home because nobody could care less. Those two just could care less.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I posted it on my Instagram, so some fans have probably seen it. But my daughter, after the 5 for 5 day the other day in Chicago, my wife is filming her reaction of the post game, and she turns the video to her and said, "Hey, Kinley, what did Daddy just do?" And she looks up at the TV, and as I'm walking off the field, I rub my nose, and she looks at the camera and says, "Daddy just picked his nose," and it's all she cared about. So, it's they definitely humble you and keep you in line.
What's the best part of being a big leaguer?
You know. Honestly, I mean, you can't beat just playing. If you love the game, if you got into baseball for the game of baseball, you can't beat the fact that you're playing against the best in the world and you're doing it on a big stage. You know, I mean, going to some of the great, obviously St. Louis with, you know, sellouts every day, but going to some of the other great stadiums in baseball, going to Wrigley Field, playing the Cubs in front of a sellout crowd, you can't beat that. I mean, if you're going to play baseball, you want to do it at the highest level, and certainly this is it, and doing it. You know, in some of these great ballparks and in front of these great fans is a big part of that.
I'd just like to say we're thrilled to have Matt long term and thank him for all he's done and look forward to having him with us. So, Matt, turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
When they came to you and said, "By the way, we have millions of dollars, we want to pay you to play the game of baseball," what was that like for Matt Carpenter?
Oh, you know, I can remember my wife and I talk about it, I don't want to say all the time, but we've talked about it on numerous occasions where we were when we got the phone call, thinking that the Cardinals were about to offer us a $50 million extension, and my mind was just completely blown away. Like, I mean, no, I just couldn't fathom that that was like a real thing. And both my parents were high school. My mom's a junior high teacher. My dad's a high school teacher. That money was just like unfathomable.
What'd you do with it? With some of it initially with your parents?
Oh yeah, we've taken care of them. We've taken care of Mackenzie's my wife's family. I mean, my mom and dad are. We have a farm in Texas that they're about to build a house on. It's been really neat to do that. We've also we've given a lot of it away to charities and certain things that are special to our heart. And obviously, we've got some things for our family too. But it's been crazy.
Is it uncomfortable sometimes?
You know, it is. Because, I mean, if you really knew, my family and her family were very similar. I mean, it's just like, it's not like us,
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of flashy things. I mean, it's like, we still think $20 is a ton of money.
Right.
It's like, my wife calls all the time. It's like, hey, we got this thing that, it's going to be $200. Is that all right? And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be fine.
Right.
But I'm glad that she's like that. I'm glad that we're like that. I mean, it's just the way we were raised.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here from my friends at Schnucks. It was easy for me to team with Schnucks. I'm from St. Louis, and I'm loyal to our hometown teams. And so is Schnucks. They're a local company that supports other local companies, the farmers and families that nourish our lives and make our community great. Just like the Zimmerman family from Vandalia, Illinois, who grow the best cantaloupe in the Midwest. Schnucks is grown in St. Louis and loyal to local. That's why I'm loyal to Schnucks. Support local and shop at Schnucks.
You were drafted in the 13th round and you signed for
$1,000.
$1,000. I've talked about it on the air all the time. I was at your press conference, which I don't know if you remember or not. It was probably a whirlwind for you, and some of your close ones and relatives and friends and your teammates are there. What do you remember about that day when you're kind of addressing the media and taking it all in and just thinking about maybe the enormous responsibility of that too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing that stood out the most for me was having my teammates there, guys like Adam Wainwright, Matt Holliday, Yadier Molina, being in there, showing the support. That made, it made me feel really good, knowing that you're now part of something. You're going to be around here for a while and that they want you to be a part of it. That was special. It definitely impacted me, and it definitely hit home with me knowing that, an organization is big and is special as the St. Louis Cardinals is investing in your future. They want you to be around for 6, possibly 7 years. That had a huge impact on me. I mean, all those things, kind of the emotions that come into a moment like that, pretty overwhelming. I had a hard time keeping it together while I was up there, but I guess the biggest word that comes to mind is just gratitude. I was just so grateful that they cared and saw enough in me to give me some kind of an opportunity like that.
Have you thought about the Cardinals Hall of Fame? As I was watching you in Chicago, and I've been thinking about it, but as you go along now, you're starting to move into the top categories in all-time Cardinal offensive categories, and you've been on a team that's gone to a World Series and won divisions. You might be the MVP this year. Have you thought about the Cardinals Hall of Fame? Is that do you let that creep into your mind at all?
I try not to. I'd be lying if I haven't gone there and mentally for a few seconds. And
it's human nature.
Yeah, I mean, let me just say this. It would be a day that would be like, outside of the birth of my children, would be probably the most special day of my life. Every time something happens and my name gets put in the same sentence with Lou Brock or put in the same sentences, Red Shaney's or Mark McGwire, I mean, Stan Musial.
You broke Stan's doubles record.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about those things and when your name gets put in the same sentence with those guys, I just can't even, it's like the greatest feeling in the world. I have so much respect for the game of baseball in general, but this organization more than anything. As a baseball player, I was a baseball fan long before I ever started playing the game, and it's so cool to have that. So to be able to even be, if I was even in the conversation, to be a guy that could be part of this great history and be a Hall of Famer in this organization, it would mean the world.
Do the guys watch the ceremony?
Oh, yeah.
They take it in?
Yeah. I mean, those guys, I mean, we'll shake the hands of those guys in red jackets before we take the field on the first game of the season every year. I mean, it's a big deal.
It's still a big deal.
No, yeah, no doubt.
What's your favorite moment? Do you have one?
As a Cardinal?
Yeah.
It's got to be, you know, clinching a National League pennant, going to the World Series, without a doubt.
No one on, two outs, and a 2-2 pitch. Trevor Rosenthal delivers. Swing and a miss, struck him out, and your Cardinals are National League champions for 2013. They beat the Dodgers, and they're going to the World Series. They're 19th National League crown. And they're celebrating on the field big time. They win this one 9-0.
From just an overall standpoint, it's got to be that. There's a lot of little individual cool things that have happened over the course of my career, but the thing I'm most proud of, and the thing I'm, you know, I have the picture at home, and I can remember it vividly still to this day, me, Yachty, and Alan Craig, you know, taking a picture together as National League champions, headed to the World Series, one of the coolest moments of my life.
The Kershaw home runs are pretty good, too.
Those are fun, too. Yeah, those are definitely on the top of the list.
What do you think about a shift? Do you like it? Does it bother you? How do you deal with that?
You know, obviously, I'm not like, I don't love it for the fact that, you know, I can remember parts of my career, first of all, coming up through the minor leagues and then early in my career in the big leagues when they didn't shift. There's, as a left-hander, there was a huge advantage of being a left-handed hitter.
No question.
If you had, a runner on first base, huge hole over there. Even when they're not, you could just pull a ball in the hole. If you look to drive the ball to right field and you just missed it, you pulled a ground ball in the hole for a single. It happened all the time. I look at some of my hit tapes from 2012 and 2013. I had a ton of single ground balls to the right side of the infield. Those just don't exist anymore. So, I mean, from that standpoint, I don't love them. But, you know, I get asked all the time about beating the shift. You know, the only way that I would beat the shift, the only thing I'm going to do to beat a shift is bunt. And the only opportunity that I get to do that is what we saw in Chicago the other day when there's nobody over there. Most of the time, the third baseman's still kind of hanging out because they know I will try and bunt. But as far as, like, hitting ground balls to short to beat the shift, I'm just not a fan of it. I don't think that it's doing anything. I don't think it does a service to me or our team when I have an opportunity to go up there
and drive the ball.
Drive the ball in the gap, hit a ball over the fence, hit a ball in the double. If I played the game, I could go 2-for-4 with, you know, a single and a double. If I try to hit a ground ball to short 4 times, if I'm lucky, I go 2-for-4 with 2 singles. I mean, there's going to be days where you try to hit ground balls short, you're going to go 0-for-4. It happens all the time. I mean, you know, you're going to strike out in this game. You're going to pop up. You're going to do all kinds of things.
Well, when you got to the batter's box, you look up and there's 4 outfielders. Did you know it was coming? Had it been talked about? Did you think it might happen?
You know, it's funny. It hadn't been talked about, but our video guy, Chad Blair, me and him have a lot of baseball conversations. He's been around here for a long time. The Cardinal fans out there who don't know it, he came over with Tony La Russa,
right,
and he's been here forever. And
1996.
Right, and he's one of my favorite guys to talk the game with. He watches everything, you know, as a video guy. So I went up to him before the game, and I said, you know what, if I was them, I would shift me to where there's nobody on the left side. I didn't think that they'd put 4 outfielders, but I thought that there was a chance that they wouldn't have anybody over there and say, make me make a decision on, okay, if you want to bunt, go ahead. And sure enough, I was right. I didn't foresee them putting four outfielders in there, but I did have a feeling that Joe would make me make a decision on whether I should bunt or not.
Did you laugh at all?
I mean, when I saw 4 outfielders out there, it's hard not to laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, it's kind of just, if you are a baseball purist and you watch the game, it's just goofy looking.
Well, I said he's telling him to bunt because he doesn't want him to swing the bat.
Right.
It's that simple.
Yeah. And so, you know, and for me, it was the easiest decision ever. I mean, ultimately, it's about winning a game.
Yeah.
It's about getting on base and trying to help our team score a run, and I bunted.
I appreciate you doing this. Just a couple more minutes, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem.
Lance Berkman, you grew up in Texas, and then you had a chance to play with him, and he was your guy. Posters of Lance in your room as a kid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did he live up to everything you thought it might be in meeting and then playing with Lance Berkman?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it lived up to it, you know, everything and more. The thing that I didn't know about Lance as a fan of his is how hilarious the guy is. I mean, he is easily top 5 funniest people I've ever met.
Is that right?
Oh, he's hysterical. I mean, he can hold a room as good as anybody I've ever been around. The other surprising thing that I would have never guessed is he's easily in the top five smartest guys I've ever met.
Yeah.
I knew he went to Rice. I knew that's a good school, but I didn't know that, like, the guy, he's such a sponge. Like, when he hears something, if you read something in a book, if he, you know, you say it to him one time, he's going to remember it forever. He's got one of those minds.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he can just spout off Texas history or, you know, doesn't matter what it is, like, he knows it. And that kind of blew my mind, you know, away. And then the fact that he's just a good guy and a good teammate, you know, obviously a great player, made it that much more special.
2011, you were part of that club. Now, not active at that point, but you got a ring.
No doubt.
What's that ring mean to you?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, certainly, you know, as a player, it doesn't feel, you know, the 1-13 for me, the National League pennant, obviously not a World Series championship, it has more meaning because I was a big part of it.
Yeah.
2011, I made my debut. I played in, I think it was 9 games. You know, did get a hit, did help us win a game. So, I mean, that feels special. Wasn't on the playoff roster, so I didn't get to go be a part of the special run. So, you know, that kind of has less meaning. But the fact that I have a World Series ring, it's got my name on it. I was a part of the team during 2011. It's just incredible, and I'm obviously really grateful for it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. First base hit against Kerry Wood?
Yeah, yeah. First game ever, I get called up, starting against the Cubs.
Mom and dad there?
Mom and dad are there. You know, I'll tell you one neat story about my debut. So I get called up in 2011, playing the Cubs at home. I'm starting. I got my first hit against Kerry Wood. You know, it was a great day. The real crazy thing about my debut is, so that day, Albert Pujols hits a walk-off home run. So I was like, man, this guy, you know, and I grow up, you grow up watching Albert Pujols, you know how great he is. And now I'm on his team, so I'm just in awe of watching him. I mean, everybody watches Albert, everything he does. So he hits a walk-off home run. We're all celebrating. It's so exciting. So game two, second day in the big leagues. We show up for Chicago. We're playing the Cubs again. And I start again. We play again. Albert Pujols hits another walk-off home run. And I'm just, like, watching this guy, and I'm like, is this just how it happens up here? That every day in the big leagues, Albert Pujols hits a walk-off home run. It was an incredible thing to see.
Yeah, I did most of his games. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable.
He's unreal.
Well, that's the run that I've compared the run that you're in right now to maybe the closest thing I saw was Albert Pujols. I mean, that's how locked in you are right now. Would it be important to retire as a Cardinal for you?
I mean, obviously – you know, this is the only place that I've put on a uniform. It's the most special place in baseball, in my opinion. I know I'm biased, but I know that there's other people that haven't played here that would say the same thing. If I could play every single inning of my or of my baseball career with the birds on the bat on my front of my jersey, it would be nothing. I mean, there would be no greater thing in the world for me. I know how the game works. I know that that's not always an easy thing to do. There's not many people that can say they played for one organization, but if I had that opportunity, it was something I would definitely want it to be a part of.
I think we need to point out too, you're great with kids, and I always see you signing and taking pictures and taking time for families and those that are sick, and you've mentioned that you've donated a lot of money to charity, but the one that fans always see is Homers for Health. How important has that been for you, and then is there any story maybe back channel that we don't see on TV, don't hear about on radio, it's not written about in the paper, but where it's really impacted you personally with maybe a family or a kid that you met?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's such a great thing that helps so many kids. I mean, what Cardinal Glennon is able to do and what we're able to do by hitting home runs and some of our pitchers, you know, striking guys out, the money that's raised and then having our fan base pitch in, and also it really, unless you're around it every day, unless you've gone to the hospital and see, like, and you can see some of the wings that, you know, things that have been done, you just don't get a real picture of what's actually happening. What things that have blown my mind is when I do get an opportunity to go up there and spend time with these kids and on these families that are going through this tough time, and to see the, like, pleasure on their face that, you know, this is something that we're being able to do. They're so grateful of it. And those are the things that have had the impact on me. It's not as much, you know, just being a part of it. It's actually like getting to meet some of these families and getting to be around some of these sick kids and, you know, getting to know them on a personal level and, you know, it'll just bring a tear to your eye.
Final question. Are you going to be the kind of guy that they have to rip the uniform off you, or are you going to say, I made enough money, had a great run, my kids are starting to get a little bit older, I want to be more with my family?
have you kind of ever even thought of something like that?
Yeah, and that's an easy answer for me. I mean, my family is the most important thing in my life. And I don't want to be a guy who stinks, you know? So yeah. I don't want to play to a point where I'm not productive, and I don't want to play to a point where I'm missing out on things that I could see. You know, I miss enough already. And thankfully my kids are young enough to where if I'm lucky enough to play for five more years, you know, I won't miss a ton. You know, but I definitely won't be a guy who hangs around forever.
Will you keep the beard?
Yeah, I think that's just a part of me now. Yeah. My kids might not even recognize me without it.
I don't think our fans would either.
Yeah.
It's great to have you in St. Louis. You've meant so much to the club, and thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
He's one of the best players in baseball, and Matt Carpenter can flat out hit. Thanks to Matt for taking time out to sit down and visit on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. A reminder, on the website, there are game day previews, podcasts, Mondays with Mo, and the Minor League Report. Every day, there's something for you on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Presented by Ryan Kelly and Schnucks.